Today's gospel is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, 26 and 27, continuing in chapter 16, beginning with verse 4. The work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And from our Holy Spirit as we celebrate him today. I know this happens to you. Since the world has changed from simple machines to technology, everything electronic suggests a simple fix if it locks up or if it freezes or slows down or somehow it's not working. What do? Reboot. We turn it off, power it down, and then you turn it back on again and you hope that it works after that. And a lot of times it does. In fact, when you call tech support, that's typically what they tell you to do. And you go, "Well, I could have done that myself. Why am I calling you?" But that's what fixes it. It's called a reboot or a restart. Today's Pentecost Sunday, and today, this is your Holy Spirit reboot. I want to give you a quick recap of the story of where we got to lead us to today from the Bible. And today's message is really a Bible study, so I'd encourage you, ask you to take the Bible that's near you and open it, because I'm going to be referring to it a good deal today and also flipping around a little bit. Or you can also open the Bible that's on your phone or however it is you best read the Bible. When we think about what happened between Jesus' resurrection and his today, Pentecost, some things did happen, and it's kind of recalled in Acts chapter 1. He rose from the dead on Easter, but then Jesus appeared to several disciples on many occasions. And we have those accounts, him appearing at the lake, him appearing in the locked room, him appearing on the road to Emmaus. And it says in verse 3 on Acts chapter 1, this is on page 884. It says, chapter 1, verse 3, "After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God." Verse 4, "While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And if you skip to verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." At that moment, he was taken up, into heaven, and that is what is called the Day of Ascension. So it's 40 days after the crucifixion is the Ascension, and that was a week ago, Thursday. We celebrated that, and then today is the celebration of Pentecost, a Jewish festival. And as you heard read about what happened on Pentecost, all the believers were gathered, and people come to Pentecost in Jerusalem from all over the known world. Jews from every country, as it listed, are there coming to worship God. And this amazing thing happened. The tongues of like fire was revealed, and the people gathered there heard the wonders of God, it says, spoken in their native language. And they were amazed, and they said, "What's going on?" To which Peter says, "Call on the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. Call on his name, and you will be saved." And 3,000 people were added to the church that very day. The Holy Spirit is not just a one-time occurrence. We don't just read about him here and go, "Well, that was great. I'm glad the Holy Spirit showed up there." It's from now on, all throughout the rest of the New Testament, all throughout the rest of the church, all throughout the rest of our lives and into the future, the Holy Spirit is coming. He's here. He's with us. And the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus. After Jesus left the world, he said he had to leave so that the Holy Spirit would be given. So if you think about the Bible in this way, the entire Bible culminates in the ministry, the birth, death, the ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Would you not agree? That is the central event. All of the Old Testament points right to Jesus, and all of the New Testament points to Jesus, and then we also hear of his coming again. And the Holy Spirit has one thing to do. The Holy Spirit has one job. Can you guess what that is? It's this. What am I pointing to? The Holy Spirit's job is pointing to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's sort of shy, I guess, because he doesn't give glory to himself. The Holy Spirit is not the one who is lifted up. And that's why I think so often we don't think about the Holy Spirit so often. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit. It's really easy to understand the other members of the Trinity. We know what the Father does. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the one that provides everything for us. He's the one that protects us from evil. We know what the Father does. He's the one who sent Jesus. We know who Jesus was. We know his story so well. We walk through the Gospels. We hear about his miracles, how he lived on the earth. We hear what he taught. We believe in him. We know that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead to defeat sin, death, and the devil forever. But the Holy Spirit is a little harder to figure out. And that's why today I want to use this message as a time to give us all a reboot, a new start, a fresh look at the Holy Spirit. And to do that, I want to just focus on five short passages from John, which are the key passages where Jesus explains and tells his disciples who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit will do. So if you would, let's flip back in your Bibles now to John chapter 14, and you'll find this on page 877. John 14, verse 16. It's on page 877. Beginning with verse 16, and Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you." So here the word for spirit, the Greek word is called paraclete, which literally that's the word advocate, or coming to someone's aid. Paraclete, in other words, or other ways are translated in other Bible versions, are helper, intercessor, mediator, counselor. Isaiah calls Jesus the wonderful counselor, and Jesus says that here is another counselor coming to you. The Spirit is to be with you forever, and the Spirit is the one who will come alongside us. It's like the sense of being a helper. Forever, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, is helping you believe. The Holy Spirit is helping you in faith. He lives with you and will be in you, Jesus says. So the disciples who had known Jesus as Lord for many years now come to know him by heart. And the same goes for us. We knew Jesus, the disciples knew him in his flesh, but now they come to know him by heart because Jesus now speaks to them from within. It's really a pretty intimate thought, isn't it? That the Holy Spirit can speak to us from inside of us. And it's best understood in this way. The Hebrew word for spirit or wind is the word ruach. I love, let's say that together. It's so great. It's a great word. Ruach. Ready? Ruach. It feels like breath, doesn't it? And that's what it actually means, that the Holy Spirit is breath. Take a deep breath right now. Breathe in. Do it again. The Holy Spirit lives in you like your breath. We breathe. We're not even conscious of our breath most of the time, unless we're running and dying, exercising like Matthew does. Usually we don't think about breathing, we just do it. The Holy Spirit lives in us like breath. That is, the Spirit is the breath of God, the breath of Christ in us. As we take a breath, that is a Holy Spirit reboot. Now skip with me down to verse 26, where Jesus says, 25, I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. So the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, doesn't draw attention to himself, as I said. He continually testifies or teaches about Jesus. Maybe that's why he's so often overlooked, because we don't even notice what he's doing. I'm sorry, I skipped a little part here. That's the next part. He told you here that he's going to teach you, and that means he'll remind you of everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus said. Did you ever wonder how we got the actual words of the Gospels? Because we don't ever have note of somebody scribing, you know, like a reporter taking account of all of Jesus' miracles or all of his teachings or everything he said or did. That didn't happen. How is it that these were recorded for us? Well, it's by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought to mind to the disciples so that they could write down the very words of Jesus so we would have them today. The Spirit enabled them to do that. The Spirit teaches us God's word. He's the one that enables us to understand God's word. Isn't that wonderful? Do you ever read the scriptures and go, I'm not sure what that was all about. I kind of missed it. That's where you offer the prayer, Holy Spirit, help me understand this word. And he does. He shows up. He brings the scriptures to our minds. He brings the words of Christ to us. He is our helper and he is our teacher. Now, sorry, let's skip to next page to John 15:26. 15:26 on 878. It says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, doesn't draw attention to himself, as I've said. He continually testifies to Jesus. That's why he's overlooked. I'm sure you've all been to a concert, right? Of a musician that you enjoy. He comes on stage, or the band comes on stage, and it's a wonderful experience. But who made that happen? Well, there's a lot of people behind the scenes. They're called roadies. And they go with the band and they set everything up. They prepare everything. They do the mic check, the sound check, the instrument check. And as the crowd gathers, the stage is set up. And right before the band enter, the roadies do one final sound check. These are the servants. They're the background people. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit does all the background work so that we can understand and comprehend Christ. And he likes being in the background. Like I said, his main work is to point to Jesus. So we've looked at three of the five passages that mention the Paraclete in John. And let's look now at the last two. Let's look now at 16, verse 7 on page 878. Nevertheless, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. Jesus reminds us here that it's necessary for him to go. I'm sure that didn't make much sense to the disciples, because having him present, the Messiah on earth, having him there with them, even in his resurrected self, made a lot of sense to them. It was comforting. It was powerful. It showed that he was alive. And now he says that he has to leave so that the Holy Spirit can be given. So just prior to him ascending into heaven, he says that he has to do it so that the Holy Spirit would come. You see, Jesus was limited by his humanity. He was put in a human body, and he could not be in many places at the same time. He could only be in one place at once. But by him leaving, the Holy Spirit can come and be everywhere at once. He left the earth so that God could be everywhere, including in all of us. So what else is he saying here? It says that the Paraclete will prove the world wrong about three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, a better translation to the word prove or convict would be expose. So the Holy Spirit will bring out into the open what is true, the true meaning of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. So I'm going to dig into these a little bit here, so I hope you can stay with me. First, about what is the meaning of sin? Jesus says, because people do not believe in me. That's very important. We have ideas about sin, and we know that sin is moral failure. It's doing the wrong thing. It's disobeying the commandments. But the key sin here that Jesus is identifying is the sin of unbelief. The sin is when people do not believe in me. It's when people say, you know what? I'm just fine. I'm not that bad of a person. I'm not that much of a sinner. I don't really need a savior. I mean, I just like to go to church maybe a little bit, or make me feel better, or make my guilt removed. But that's actually what Jesus is getting at. If we don't embrace and understand that he is the savior, that the main thing we do is believe that he will forgive us of our sins, and we trust him, that's what he wants to do. You see, when Jesus came, he brought a whole new dimension to what sin is, didn't he? Because the Pharisees were all caught up in what they did. So a sin would be breaking the Sabbath or eating the wrong foods. Those would be sins. And Jesus took it to an entirely new level, because he said, it isn't just what you do, folks. It's what you think about doing. It's what's in your mind. It's the thoughts that start there that end up going into actions. So how do you overcome that? You say, I'm a sinner, Lord. I can't even keep my thoughts straight. I can't even keep my ideas straight. I think bad things. I think impure things. Jesus is saying, that's why I came, to cleanse you, to forgive you, to heal you. All the judging that goes on, John is very clear here. This is what he talks about. It's not a moral category sin is, it's a theological category. He's concerned about the world's ongoing rejection of the revelation of God in Jesus. There is a Savior, and it's not you. That's what he's saying here. Secondly, the world's view of judgment, the world's view of righteousness needs to be exposed. About righteousness, he says, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. Now here it's important not to confuse righteousness here with what makes us righteous or in right relationship to God. Here the word means vindication. It's the only place that this word is used in John's gospel. So vindication means God was right. God's plan, as we know, was to love the world by giving his son to die on the cross that all who believe in him would be saved. Now, the world would say what he did by dying on the cross was the ultimate failure. How could the Messiah die on the cross? But did he fail? Did he fail? No. He was victorious. He rose from the dead. He defeated death. And so death is not going to be the end of Jesus. He is vindicated. He is vindicated and not lost. And the disciples, it says, will see him no longer, is further evidence that he truly did conquer death. It's because he's not around, not visibly or visibly there or visible, the disciples know that death is not the final word, that God could not, people think, the world thinks that death is the final word and God could not change that fact, but God is right and the world is wrong. So that's why he's proving the world wrong about righteousness. And finally, the world's view of judgment needs to be exposed. And about judgment, he says, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The judgment called for here is not the judgment that all of us will face at the end of our lives as we give account to God for our lives and all that we have done, which we stand in Christ as forgiven and saved. The judgment here is the judgment of the ruler of the world. Who's that? The devil. The embodiment of all that is opposed to God is defeated, and God is victorious. I'm going to say that again, and I would like you to all to give me an amen, all right? The judgment here is the end of the ruler of this world, the devil, and the embodiment of all that is exposed to God is defeated. All of those forces opposed to God is defeated. And God is victorious. Can I hear it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All the ways the devil tries to scare us and tempt us and taunt us and condemn us, well, we don't need to take it because he's been taken out. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's like a buzzing bee that has no stinger. It's annoying. It's in our ear. It's all around us. But that bee has no power to hurt us. The Holy Spirit exposes the world to what is wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit enables us to believe in Jesus, to trust that God is good and right, and the devil has ultimately no power in the life of a believer. This is good stuff. Are you feeling your Holy Spirit reboot yet? There's one more thing to look at. Look at verse 13 with me of chapter 16. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. going on, he will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. How comforting it is to have a guide. Have you ever done a cave tour, like in a dark cave, like way down underground? Not recommended by yourself, right? Not recommended if you don't know the cave or where you're going. You need a guide. The Holy Spirit is a guide, guiding us through what's dangerous or perilous, showing us a trail, showing us the way to water. We look at these five attributes of the Holy Spirit that I've mentioned today. He's our helper, our teacher, our testifier, our exposer, and our guide. And we quickly realize that the Holy Spirit is not anyone to fear, but someone to be welcomed. The Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus. The best reboot I can offer you is to invite you to pray, to invite the Holy Spirit more and more into your life. At this time, I have some handouts that I'd like the ushers to bring. And maybe if you could grab a bunch of people right now, I'd like to give you a prayer that we're going to end today's message with that you can take home and pray as we go on. Prayer is so powerful because prayer enables us to pray in the Holy Spirit and pray as the Lord would lead us, pray the scriptures, and pray all things that we would need to say. And this prayer that you're handing out, go ahead, sure, yeah. We'll let this take out. Let's just take a few minutes and practice breathing right now. The breath of the Holy Spirit coming to you with each breath you take, that it would be a gift of the Holy Spirit. This prayer is based around the prayer of discernment from Jesuits. And it's a beautiful prayer that helps us invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. The worship team needs a few when you get up here, and the sound booth needs, who doesn't have one yet? Just the sound team and the back rows. I wanted to hand it out to you. I was going to put it on the screen, but I thought, you know, if I hand it out to you, then you can take it home and it won't be easily forgotten. So you can continue to use this in your life. All right. We could bring some up to the worship team, please. If you're watching online, I had Lynn put this on the screen. So all you watching online also have this prayer before you. So think about, what is the best way to do a Holy Spirit reboot? I think it's to pray anew, inviting the Holy Spirit, welcoming him more into our life. And notice how I use the pronoun him. We don't know if the Holy Spirit is male, female. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a him. The most important thing is that the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. The Holy Spirit is personal. And so that's why we refer to him in a personal pronoun. The Holy Spirit, this is a prayer inviting the Holy Spirit more into your life. But you need to realize the Holy Spirit is already in you. If he wasn't, you wouldn't even be here today. Because the Holy Spirit is who's drawn you to come and worship, drawn you to open the Bible, drawn you to believe, drawn you to watch online today and hear the message and even brought you to faith. So this prayer is called a prayer of discernment. And before we pray it, I want to say this is a dangerous prayer. It's dangerous because not in the sense that it's not safe, because you're giving your life to follow Christ makes it a dangerous prayer. Instead of asking Jesus to hop on the back of your motorcycle and drive off into the sunset, you are actually sitting back and having Jesus get in front and steer your life. This is the Holy Spirit reboot. Here is the prayer. I'm going to pray it, and I want you just to consider the words as they wash over you. And I'm going to make the prayer be very intentional and slow. So before we pray again, just let's take three deep breaths. And with each deep breath, say, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, soul of my soul, I adore you. Enlighten, guide, strengthen, and counsel me. Tell me what I ought to do and help me to do it. I promise to be submissive to whatever you ask of me. Only show me your will. Pretty dangerous, isn't it? Let's pray it again one more time, together this time, but again, slowly. O Holy Spirit, soul of my soul, I adore you. Enlighten, guide, strengthen, and counsel me. Tell me what I ought to do and help me to do it. I promise to be submissive to whatever you ask of me. Only show me your will." This is a reboot of the Holy Spirit today. It's the first day of the season of Pentecost, which is the season of the Holy Spirit. And it starts today and carries on all the way through November. It's a lot of days in the Holy Spirit. I would love to hear how this prayer has affected you, how the Holy Spirit has nudged you or influenced you to have a conversation, to reach out in service, to share Christ or a prayer for someone. It would be so encouraging if you would pray this prayer and then share with someone what has happened because of it. It would be really encouraging if anyone would share this prayer and also be willing to share it with our church in the weeks to come. How the Holy Spirit has nudged you or helped you believe or overcome or trust him. So that we could see the hand of God working here in our lives and working in our church. Let us pray. Lord, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are strengthening, guiding, enlightening, and counseling us. You live in us. We thank you that you, because you live in us, you show us and direct us and guide our lives. You help us know what to say, what to do, who to reach, who to talk to, who to encourage. Lord, we thank you that you are our guide. And we pray, Jesus, that you would show us a way forward in our own lives and the struggles we face. And also, Lord, that you would be in the midst of our church, showing us as your people, your sons and your daughters, how to live in unity and how to work through difficulties. And also, Lord, how to love and share your grace and truth with this broken world. We pray this in Jesus' name and thank you today for your Holy Spirit. Amen.